Well, good morning to everyone. Great to see everyone. I want to let you know that yesterday we had a number of people who went around the neighborhood and passed out the calendars that we had been talking about and interacted with probably, from the people I've talked to, probably about 300 of our neighbors here in Douglas Hills. I will tell you from my experience and from the experience I've heard from the other people who've talked to me, people in the neighborhood were very receptive. What we did was we gave them the calendar, said we are your neighbors here, and we want to let you know that we're here for you if you need anything. I had a number of people who just seemed genuinely to say thank you very much. Some people engaged in conversation, some people didn't. Our purpose was just to let people know that we are here. We'll probably do another one toward the end of this month, so keep your ears open on that regard so that we can just meet our neighbors and let them know that we are part of the community and we care about people. For those who can help out, thank you very much. For those of you who wanted to but you could not for whatever reason, thank you for wanting to, and we'll have another opportunity soon, so keep your ears open for that. So we just finished the Bible form, and it was a helpful Bible form dealing with issues that probably most of us don't think about very much. But they are real issues, and they are issues that help us, if we don't deal with some of them, to perhaps look more compassionately upon people who do. And compassion is a vital, necessary thing when it comes to evangelism. Sometimes we lack compassion. So I was trying to think, you know, what am I going to preach on today? I had a sermon picked out, and after the Bible forum, it just didn't seem like that was the direction we needed to go. And I kept thinking about it, and I kept thinking about what we are trying to do this year, how we are trying to change some of our behavior towards the lost. And that's really what the Bible forum was about, right? It was about identifying problems and changing those problems. So I thought about our congregation, specifically us. I thought about visitors coming in here. And what are the things that we need to do as a congregation to try to work with people who are seeking Christ and not drive them away? Because let's be honest, that happens sometimes. There's some things we need to know. And so this morning, I want to talk very personally for those who are live streaming, especially if you don't know this congregation, you may not be able to relate to very much of this, but I want to talk to you and I want to talk to me. I want to talk to our church this morning. If you don't know the history of this congregation was started in 1968 when a group of Christians decided there needed to be a work over here on the east side of town. Brother Ed Byers, who has since passed, was one of the main ones who drove that move. Sister Bailey Brock and her husband Charlie, they were founding members of this congregation, our congregation. Let me say this too. I'm using that word accommodatively. I understand. I always have someone come up, this is not our church, this is Christ's church. I know this is Christ's church. But we use that word our quite often. We'll say things like, this is our country, right? And what we are saying there is I have an affinity with this country. I have a connection with this country, and that's the way I'm using this. I have a congregation, I have an affection and an affinity with this church. And if you're a member here, you have identified with this church. We're not the only church. Christ established the church, but we are a church that belongs to Him. So that's the way I'm using it. So in 1968, the church began to meet in the St. Matthew's Mall. And they met there until 1971. 1971, they got money up and they built the back part of this building where the classes are. So I understand that the top level was the auditorium, the bottom level was where classes took place. And over the course of 51 years, we've had several building expansions. The look of this building has changed a lot. The look of the church has changed a lot. They had 17 members now, we have about 300 now. Then we have about 300 now. So that's the history of this church. But I want to address the character of the church right now. And I want to be very honest with you. And as I talk about these things this morning, I include myself in them. In no way am I pointing a finger at you. There are a lot of good things about this congregation. But there are some things that we need to be concerned about, some things that we need to change. And this change is not something that happens just on a congregational level. Change happens individually. There are a lot of things that I'm going to mention this morning that I've mentioned over the last 2 months to some degree or another. And in this way, he's talking about that again. It's because there are issues that need to change. And maybe at some point we'll stop listening to these issues and thinking congregationally about them and think individually about them and start asking, is it me? Instead of, is it us? So what do we need to know about ourselves? And for any visitors who are visiting here and they're thinking about placing membership here, what are the things you need to know about us? Well, the first thing is we aren't perfect. Okay, we just aren't. At the Bible Forum, and this always happens, but I had several people coming to me and they said, this congregation is so friendly. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And we need to be friendly. But I hope they don't confuse that to think that we are a perfect group of people, because we certainly are not. We are redeemed. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in Him, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. If you are a child of God, if you've been baptized for the remission of your sins have been washed away, you have been redeemed. Okay? That's a step in the right direction. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. There are a lot of things we have to work on in this congregation. Some Christians here are very judgmental and very opinionated. Opinions are interesting. Everybody has opinions, right? Everybody struggles with the rightness or wrongness or appropriateness of some things, and that's fine. Sometimes we are asked our opinion. Recently, the elders asked, what is your opinion about whether we can continue worshiping on Sunday morning at the times and then Sunday evening at 5, or what if we put them all together or do 2 o'clock? And a lot of you gave your opinions. That's fine. The opinion was asked for. And yet sometimes when we start expressing our opinions, we start getting mad at each other. And that's a little crazy, okay? I've found over the years, at least it seems to me, it's my opinion, that sometimes the most opinionated people are the ones who get the most mad when you express your opinion. Go think about that one for a while. And we're all going to have opinions all the time. We have opinions about a lot of different issues. We have opinions about homeschooling, okay? About public school, about private school. Sometimes those opinions begin to get in our way of unity. We don't need to express any of those opinions. We have opinions about what we wear. Someone says, well, I wear blue jeans and a nice polo shirt. Someone, well, I wear a tie. Well, I wear a coat and tie. Well, my coat and tie match. I wear a suit. You know, and we start playing this game against one another. Ladies, you know, my hair's longer than your hair. Yeah, but your hair's colored. You know, so we start sort of one-upping one another because we've got all these opinions. I was in a conversation one time with some guys, not here, and one of them just asked, you know, what's your opinion on, like, wearing a toupee? Okay. Obviously, it would be pertaining to me. And I said, no, you're not. Obviously, I wouldn't do that. And the other guy says, well, I think it's sinful. What? You're lying. You're trying to convince people you have hair when you don't. Okay. But look. That's an opinion someone has. And the issue is not so much that we have opinions about things, and we all will. The problem is we start judging other people by our opinions. And that's what we have to be very careful of. We start looking at other people and saying, this is my opinion, and my opinion is right, and if you're not living up to my opinion, you are wrong. And what we have forgotten squarely is what Jesus said in Matthew 7. This is a verse that sometimes the world thinks is the only verse in the Bible. I'm convinced sometimes we don't even think it's in the Bible. Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. You and I need to think about that, beloved. We're all going to have opinions. We need to be very careful about keeping our opinions to ourselves. Instead of feeling an incessant need to share our opinions with others, so that other people begin to see how right we are. That's another problem. This is a problem we have within our fellowship sometime. Being self-righteous. When I'm so convinced my judgment is right, then I begin to elevate myself above other people and I start becoming self-righteous. Now, self-righteousness is a really, really interesting idea. Most of us, if we think about self-righteousness, think about the text that Caleb read a few moments ago, right? We think of someone who's standing up and drawing attention to themselves. Oh, look how I get everything right and how good I am. And that certainly is a self-righteous person. I suspect that's probably not the self-righteousness most of us practice. Rather, if you open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, this is the type we practice. I will call this type, for lack of a better term, humble self-righteousness. Or matter-of-fact self-righteousness. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verses 4 through 6. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about his past. He said, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Now, I don't think Paul, as he was telling this, was talking about saying, oh, look at who I was. I think what Paul was saying was, as someone who loved God, even in humility, he sought to make himself right. So here's the dangerous thing about self-righteousness that we need to be concerned about. We can be humble, genuinely humble, and still self-righteous. And still think that the things I do make me right before God. And then when I see other people who aren't doing what I do, I begin to lift myself up above them. And we need to be careful, beloved. We must have a humble attitude. And here's a big one. And this is sort of like the byproduct of these other two. When I'm judgmental, opinionated, and self-righteous, it's going to be expressed somehow. And we start gossiping. It starts really innocently, I know, because I've done it. It begins with not just overt gossip. Can I tell you about brother so-and-so? Most of us aren't going to do that. But what we do say is, well, you know, some of those issues that Brother Adams addressed in the Bible Forum, we got some people here who have that problem. And we don't mention names, but you know what you do when you say something like that? For me, I instantly start thinking, well, who? Who is it? And then I start going through a list. I'm just being honest here. Who are they talking about here? And now instead of one person, now I'm thinking of 100 different people that could fit that category. And when we start gossiping, we are not helping other people. Now, many of you have been on the receiving end of gossip. And you know that it hurts. It hurts a lot. It hurts to have anybody talking about you, but it hurts especially to have your brethren. I've had a number of people tell me over the years that that's one of the reasons why they don't invite people here. Beloved, because sometimes we're opinionated, judgmental, self-righteous, and we talk about that. And there's another problem that we need to address, and that is the, well, Ephesians 4 verse 29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Last problem I'll address here before we move on to the lesson. The best way I could put this is aloofness. I don't think I've ever used that word discernment before, but this is the time to bring it in. Aloofness is a sense of separation from other people. You might think of a snob who's just sort of off to the side. In particular, what I'm addressing here are cliques. Now, let me say a few things about cliques. Cliques are normal in any group of people. And there's nothing wrong with a clique in and of itself. Anytime you have people who come together, they will gravitate towards other people who are like them. And that's fine. That happens all the time. That's not what I'm dealing with here. What I'm dealing with is the idea of people coming together and keeping other people out. That's what is addressed here. And sometimes I see in this congregation, and I have to honestly ask myself how much I participate in this, a lot of different groups. One Christian I was talking to recently, and this is not a critical statement of them, so don't start thinking, who is he talking to? They said, you know, in smaller churches, people are closer. It's not a negative statement at all. Well, if you've got a small group of about 30 people, they can be very close to one another. 300 people cannot be really, really close to one another. Really close. We can be close. We need to be close. Not really, really close. And so the reality is, in a group like this, we probably have 10 groups of 30.
And that's fine, as long as someone finds a place in one of those groups. And when we do not reach out to other people, and when we don't talk to other people, we ignore other people other than our group, then we have a problem. And those are just some of the things, honestly, that we need to address as a congregation and as individuals. And again, I put myself in the mix with you. We need to think about these things. We're not perfect. And if you come here thinking that this group is perfect, or that I'm perfect, or Brother Paul is perfect, or the elders are perfect, or anyone here is perfect, you will be disappointed at some time in the future. Maybe sooner rather than later. We are all imperfect. But we also need to change. It's not enough to say that we're imperfect. You know, a lot of times people go, well, we're only human. That's true. We are only human. But it's not enough to say that we are only human. You and I will fail. The issue is, what are we going to do about our imperfections? What am I going to do? What are you going to do? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 speaks of a group of sinners. He says this, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God, to which the self-righteous go, amen. Right. You know, we don't need to delude ourselves with people like that. But notice what Paul says in verse 11. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. There were Christians there in Corinth with these problems. And by the way, they continued to bring that baggage along. But Paul said, look, they were sanctified, they were changed. Somewhere along the way, it's not enough for us to say, you know what, I gossip sometimes. Yeah, I look down upon other people. Yeah, I share my opinions a little too much. At some point, we have to start saying, what am I going to do about it? In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Peter said, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. You hear that Peter says you've got to change. It's not enough to say this is where I am. We have to change, because if we're really going to worship God, it is about serving Him with our heart and serving Him with our purity and letting Him change us within our lives, but we've got to submit. And what the Bible calls this is sanctification. There are two ways theologically sanctification is expressed in Scripture. One is what is called positional sanctification. So think about an object that you have within your house. Maybe something that's very fragile. Fragile. Yeah. Fragile. And you want to protect it. What do you do with that? You put it in a different position. That's what positional sanctification is. When you become a child of God, God places you in this position of sanctification. But what we need to be concerned about is the second, and that is what is called practical sanctification. Practical sanctification means that we are living a sanctified life and moving in that direction. It is expressed in our life. Romans chapter 12, if you open your Bibles there, Romans 12 verses 1 through 2. Romans 12, 1 through 2, Paul said, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is where we make the choice to change, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable, what is good, acceptable, and what is perfect. So when you're a child of God, you're living every day striving to say, how can I be more of what God would have me to be? So if you find yourself someone who's judgmental and opinionated, you need to change. I need to change.
Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. That's happened. Doesn't need to happen from this point forward. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. If you find yourself self-righteous from time to time, lifting your head up and looking down upon other people, you need to realize you're saved by the grace of God. Paul makes it very clear in Ephesians chapter 2, we are not saved by our works. We are saved by God's grace. And while we are striving to be as right as we can be, we are still saved by grace. And that's the same grace that can save someone who we disagree with. You need to get rid of self-righteousness. And if you gossip and share things about your brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to change. From this day forward, you need to take that seriously so that we don't do that anymore. And we don't hurt our brothers or sisters in Christ. And if you find yourself being aloof sometimes, separated from other people, you need to reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ. None of these are difficult, beloved. But they are an expression of someone who really wants to be who God wants them to be. Belinda Trail recently on Facebook shared an article, and I shared it as well. And it was I can't remember the exact headline, but the essence was, practice the you. And the thrust of the article was, a lot of times in our groups, we sort of create a circle. And that circle excludes other people. So get together with your group, but leave an opening there for other people to step in who are looking for a group to belong in. So if these things are found in your life and you need to change them, start changing them. I need to start changing so that we can reach out and be a group of people who are approachable to those who are seeking. Now, these are things that we need to change. And you may be thinking at this point, well, you're a messed up group of people. If all this is true, why would I want to be a member of this church? Let me close by giving you two things to think about. Despite our imperfections, I think these two things are true about this congregation, and I speak from 20 years' experience. First of all, we belong to Christ. We are His church. The sign out front that says Douglas Hills Church of Christ is not our name. It is a description of who we are. A lot of times we've missed that and we turn this into a name. And I've heard all my life in sermons, you know, the Lord's church will have the right name. It's not a name. I'm ashamed to tell you, and I was probably 16 years old, I was trying to have a Bible study with a buddy of mine, and I was trying to show how his church was wrong and mine was right, and I looked at Romans 16, and I said, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ salute you. There! Case closed. Church of Christ is found in the Bible, and I'm part of the Church of Christ. Self-righteousness, you know, creeping in there. It may be a surprise to you. I didn't win any arguments there. It's not a name. It is a description of who we are. We belong to Him. We are not our own. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body, and here he's talking about adultery, fornication, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. In Romans 6, verse 19, he said, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves, you were bought, you were owned by something else, to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness. You don't belong to yourself anymore. If you're a child of God, you are God's. I know we're going to have flaws, but we've got to say, I belong to God and I want to be the person that God wants me to be within my life. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You and I were bought by the blood of Christ. Josh gave us an excellent way to bring our minds to the Lord's Supper just a few moments ago. That's who you are. Someone who's been purchased by God for His purpose and ultimately for His glory. It's not about us. It is not about Douglas Hills. It's not about me. It's not about you. It is all about Christ. And when Christians understand that, with all of their flaws, they will begin to embrace change. And the second thing, and the last thing, I think we are really trying. As a congregation, we try to look for God's approval in everything that we do. We see the early Christians taking the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. That's what we do. We see the early Christians singing when they worship. That's what we do. We find no evidence of an instrument of music, so we don't have that. We're just trying to follow God's commands and follow the example. I think the elders here and the members here do a good job of striving to do that. I also see in this congregation a very high regard for the Word of God. I hope you see it in the pulpit. I hear it in classes. I see it in my wife when she teaches the younger kids, that even in the small classes, there is a high regard for the Word of God. I hear conversations with Christians outside of the building, and we start talking about spiritual things. And that's good. And I see a lot of Christians here who take their walk of faith seriously. Let me tell you, that has been one of the things in 20 years that has continued to endear you to me. Despite whatever problems we have, I think we've got a group of people here who are trying to serve the Lord. Case in point, the exhortation talk this morning, and so many others who are really thoughtful. They bring you to the cross. You probably don't know this, but so many of the song leaders contact me Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Hey, what are you preaching on? You know why? Because they want to try to pull the songs in line. Matt said it on Friday. I didn't see it until Saturday morning. And he sort of picked out his own theme. And that's fine. I love the fact that the song leaders here think as far as themes go. And they're trying to bring us in a direction rather than just picking out their top 10 favorite songs. That would be okay, but they're trying to bring us to a particular place. I love it when I hear the prayers of my brethren here. And they are thoughtful prayers. I love it when I see brethren who are quick to volunteer, who want to help. I love the fact that I've rarely gone out of this country that someone here did not come to me with money and say, if you run across Christians or anyone who's in need, give this to them. No one's asking you to do that except God. And you're heeding that call. I love the fact that there are so many people here who do encourage and work so hard to help others, who build one another up. And despite the things I said at the very beginning, the first two points, I will tell you that I appreciate your effort in so many ways. 20 years ago, next month, April 4th, 1999, Teresa and Sierra and I stepped into that door to talk to this church about the idea of moving here. And by God's grace, I'm not sure where I would be were it not for this congregation. You have challenged me. You have helped me. You have encouraged me. You made me think about things in ways that I would not have thought of before. And I love this church. I love all of you. And despite the first two points that I made, I genuinely believe if we can fix some of those issues I talked about earlier, this is a fantastic place for people to come and learn about God. We are not the best church in Louisville. We have no aspirations of striving to be the best church in Louisville. We want to be the best we can be. We want to be a place where people come and they grow, where people with a lot of problems come and they're accepted in as they're striving to serve the Lord. That begins with our heart. We're not perfect in any way. But there's only one perfect person that God worked with in Scripture. That's Jesus Christ. Everyone else very imperfect. Abraham, Moses, David, Peter, Paul, and us. This lesson is not intended to be a downer. It's intended just as a group to personally think about what we need to do to grow and be more what God would have us to be. And the preacher includes himself in everything said. Let's work with one another. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, for your grace, thank you. For the love that came down through Jesus Christ, thank you. Help us, dear Father, to change our hearts, to strive every day, not just when we're here, but every day, to be kinder to other people and strive to look for ways to share your word. May we be genuine and true. Dear Father, we have a lot of sin that we struggle with within our lives. We pray that our sins and our weaknesses will never stand in the way of someone who is seeking you. And for the things we've talked about so far, being judgmental and opinionated, being self-righteous, gossiping, being aloof, dear Father, we can say in a prayer that we repent, but we pray each one of us in our hearts will say, I want to be who you want me to be. Bless our church. Help us to have hearts that recognize we belong to Christ and we want to follow Him. We want to be your hands and your mouth and your eyes and your feet to go out to people who are looking. Dear Father, we pray that all of us will think more about you and be more kind to one another. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you for what is done there. May you be may you be glorified in all that is done. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, if you're not a Christian this morning and you'd like to become one, we haven't really focused on that, but you can. As we say every time, the water is ready. If you know what you need to do and you're ready to commit this morning, you can be baptized and have all your sins washed away. And if you want to be a part of this congregation, we'd love for you to. If you're a child of God and maybe there are issues going on in your life, maybe there's sin in your life, something you need to change. Maybe, like all of us, we need to walk away this morning going, Lord, is it I? Do I need to address some of these things? But if you want to do something publicly, if you need prayers, if there's any way we can help you now, we invite you to come now while we stand and sing.